This is CliffCentral.com.
Okay, it's Malums. It's Malums. Umalume went to Sanker on that one. And he's clearly pointing out that he's Malume went to Sanker by saying Twanayam. Letting everyone know that we are his Ntwanas. Young Toy.
Hi, now Putuam. Crenshaw, Kita Fan Pitori, Outiam.
Outiang. Who's that, man? I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's been a while since we've been here together, actually.
Kopaloro Tanebila, Malurira official. Who's
official? Nguyen's
official. Yeah, I'm sure finally cool me the things.
All right, you see, yeah. it's Nguyen's official. Wabano on Lucky's side, the Gazul. But here we go, man. Welcome to it. It is 20 something once again on a Friday. Yes.
Harakasha.
Yes. And these lions that are in the studio is just another cool kid, or Jack for short. And I'm also joined by my compadre in crime, man, Neil Van Given. What's good, brother?
We're from the city where handshakes are drug deals.
Yep.
I came in looking like Adam Levine, meaning handsome as fuck.
What else?
And basically representing Maroon 5, because I came in all maroon, all dapper.
Yeah.
Barry, get more man. They say I'm handsome out there, the girls.
The girls, Barry, you look clean.
Girls look so clean.
Barry, you look so clean.
I mean, that's why I don't like to bath, because once I start bathing, you boys are in trouble. Okay? And I don't want to do that thing to you.
So you're trying to save us the heartache.
It's
right?
Joe.
I can see, I've always knew you were. I always know that you've been altruistic by nature. Like, there's this part of you that thinks about the world.
Yeah, man.
And the betterment of the world.
What one? Humanitarian.
You can't expose such hotness every day.
You can't. That's why I like people to come into my life that don't know me already to approach me. For me, man.
Yeah.
You know, me right now, this journey of self. Knowing and self-betterment and just understanding myself more.
Yeah.
I want you to come at me liking me. Not because I'm clean.
Yeah.
People know I can get clean. Ivy League. I can be Ivy League.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I want you to come into my life with a bit of purity.
It has to be clean.
I want
it?
You to come in on a clean scale.
Yeah, it's got to be clean.
And we know each other honest to honest. Eye to eye.
But you know what the problem
no
is?
No lies.
It's an idealistic idea.
It is.
It really is.
It really
and,
is.
And a lot
yes.
of the time when you bump into people, it's more especially people that you don't know, they immediately look at different things on your person.
Definitely.
That maybe they might recognize from previous interactions.
It's associations, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
it is.
What happens. It's that associations.
That's what it is. And once they see that, and if that association is to something negative, you're immediately negative. You know what I mean?
Don't you think that's the biggest thing with people, with the culture, with the world, that we associate, and by associating, then we don't get to know.
But you know,
we don't get to delve deeper into certain aspects and people and topics.
Do you know what I think? It happens in, so quickly. You know what I mean? Like from the moment I look at you, certain things just start firing in my mind. You know what I mean? Like some of the things you can help, some of the things you can't. Mm-hmm. I think what I would like for more people to do is to fight that inner feeling, whatever. Preconceived ideas that you have, don't let them sour whatever it is you're about to do next. You get what I'm saying? Like, sure, you are, let's just say for argument's sake, you're a white person, and the first time you go to Soweto, you got robbed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That should not paint Soweto in a bad light.
It
you
should.
Get what I'm saying?
No,
it was,
not at all.
Like, honestly speaking, no one likes being miserable. It's just that on that day, it was your turn. You know,
there are things that happen to all of us.
For sure.
There are incidents and events that in life that occur to all of us.
Yeah.
At least once. You might go through life having never experienced it, but, you know, other sections of life, you know, other people will experience those things.
Yeah.
And like you said, it shouldn't paint a negative picture. It shouldn't be the conclusion.
For sure.
And I think the other problem also the other major thing is that we don't get introduced to the variety that is the world soon enough.
For sure. Like, it takes a bit too long for us to start, you know, connecting with the rest of the world.
It does.
It's like, once you are over the age of 18 and you finally get a job, then you start traveling. Then you go outside the country. You know what I mean? Then you start opening up your eyes to the different cultures that exist. You know? And it's like, why couldn't those things be introduced to us at a much earlier stage?
Why?
You know?
Because then you go through life with a shock factor. There's every time you introduce to a jack, to a nail, there's like, ooh, okay.
It's like, wait.
Brick wall, I've just hit that so hard, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be that way. We should get introduced to the variety of people that exist in this world early enough and topics, and we shouldn't cage or wait for you to be ready.
Yeah.
There's always the, like, the, especially in blackness.
Yeah.
There's always this readiness concept. Like, oh no, you're too young.
Yeah.
No, we can't talk about this. No, you can't go there.
For sure.
Whereas we should push you out and say, okay, you know, learn early enough and gain the confidence to deal and to be aware that these people exist and these things exist out there.
For sure.
And you should become accustomed to them, man. You should become comfortable with it.
It's the sooner you do it, the better, in fact. You know? Moving on, there's an interesting article I read the other day. So they got a bunch of 20-somethings, right, to come together, and they got 25 people, actually, 25 20-somethings. And they were basically breaking down why, well, their shortest relationships and why they ended. Like, some of the responses some of these people gave are ridiculous. Like, this chick dated this guy for 1 week, for 1.5 weeks, right? And they broke up because she found out that the guy practiced Scientology. Like, I'm sorry, I can't.
Things that you talk about on the first date, man.
Right?
Before you have sex, I mean, have those conversations.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Like,
they'll be like, oh, that dick is so good, but ish, Scientology. Solid. You know, is it so good that Scientology?
Wait, do Scientologists say God? They don't say God, right? They don't think of God that way, right?
Like, aye.
To my understanding, L. Ron Hubbard or something like that was his name. He was an author. He came up with Scientology, or is the Jesus of Scientology.
I thought it had him.
It's got that kind
to
of
do
thing.
With aliens. Yeah, and
they,
situations.
Yeah, they there was some. Alien that was put in the world's volcanoes and it exploded, and his name is Xenu, I believe, and you've got these engrams, which is where all these, you know, your disease and you know, mental problems come from. That's it's like a mental scar. They call it an engram.
Huh.
You get what I'm saying? So you need to cleanse yourself of these engrams and whatnot. Like, it sounds, Scientology is a befitting name of the damn thing. It sounds like science fiction. You get what I mean?
It does. It's so complicated even.
Yeah. But
okay,
anyway.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, let's go into some of the other excuses. If you are a Scientologist, please carry on being a Scientologist.
Yeah,
we're not here to judge.
Now I'm trying to think if I saw Ipech Labom Z on the second date, if I'd be like, ish, should I?
She's going to make you drink tea, dog.
And I don't even like tea that time, bro.
Exactly. You're going to be drinking tea the whole time. Whenever you go to church, you need to jump up and down in white shoes. It's going to be rough. Anyway, the next one. 3 months. The relationship was 3 months. Yeah. And she says, oh, Joy is his name. He says, it ended after 3 months when I figured out he had other girlfriends in the cities he visited often for work.
Okay.
That's a straightforward
one. All right. So he's like a baller. He's like an athlete.
Yeah.
So everywhere you go, every province, every city, every town.
It's that, what do they call it? The 1,000-mile rule?
Yeah.
So if you are a musician or a sports player, if you are 1,000 miles.
From 1,000 miles. From your bed.
From your body. If you're 1,000 miles away from your body, you don't have a body. You know what I mean?
And B&Bs are expensive, guys.
For real.
Itola, the rent is gone.
It's gone.
So you need that 1,000 miles.
Right.
That home comfort. Yeah.
Okay. I was painfully shocked when I read this one. 24 hours. That was the shortest relationship for this for this young lady. And she says it ended because his mother, who was Indian, called to tell me I wasn't good enough for her son since I was a useless little black girl whose mother was probably on drugs and that it was over because she forbade it. It, in much harsher words than I've written, I was 13.
Slay Queen.
God damn.
Keep it out. Okay? It's that that sign there on the gate. In the affluent neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Danger Hafar.
Yeah, yeah. Ingozi.
Ingozi. Dog inside. Okay, the dog was told that don't enter here. Keep your black shenanigans there.
Yeah, keep
it away.
Wow.
That's so brutal though.
I wouldn't know what I would say to my mother if she ever did that.
Yeah.
Like I you know, none of your private parts were involved in our lovemaking. So why why are you ending my relationship? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like I could understand if you are with a person that beats you up maybe or ill treats you.
Yeah.
Then maybe your mom can jump in and help you out for sure.
But they never do.
Who?
Well, sometimes they do, but they never do.
They do.
Yeah, some of them don't though.
My mom is a rock star, man. So like I truly consider her one of my best friends. If not the
straight
best
up,
friend.
Straight up, love.
You know what I mean?
Love.
I tell her all of this stuff. Like, she gives me advice all the time, you know? And there are times where she says things that catch me off guard. There was this one time I was talking to her about some weird situation that was happening in my life. I'm not going to explain it. She was like, oh, what's up with Klapa? I'm like, ma, no. I can't just walk around slapping people. No, stop it. You know? So, I mean, I would like to think my mom would help out, but I don't feel comfortable with the idea that my mom's going to help me out with my relationship problems.
Yeah, but you'd have had to have allowed and created that comfort for her to feel as if she could be part of your relationships.
Yeah.
Or an extension of your relationships, you know? So sometimes it might work both ways. You might be an extension of her relationships as well. And yeah.
For sure, for sure.
But yeah, I get it, man.
Yeah, man. What was your shortest relationship?
Right? Shortest?
Yeah.
Look, man, you know me. I'm like a one club man, you know? When I go into a contract, I commit, you know? So it's never been shorter than a year.
Never been? You've never been in a relationship shorter than a year?
You know what? There was this girl, Frances.
There was a girl, Frances?
Yeah. My one and only white stallion. Unicorn princess.
Okay.
And now I'm just remembering that I was in that same situation that young black girl was in.
Mm-hmm.
In high school. So I think it was a few months. Yeah, a few months. Like the first 4 months, the first term of high school.
Yeah.
And then the next she was gone.
Sure.
They were like, no, 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 no. That Mandingo, you can't be hanging around that Mandingo. So they took her out of the school. And that was the end of my relationship with Francis. It broke me, man. Broke me.
That's crazy. So
broke me.
My shortest relationship.
Aren't they all short because you're in them?
Whoa! Yeah. But the shortest, the shortest one.
Yes.
Was about 3 days.
Huh? Why am I shocked?
No. Here's what happened. Like, you know when you meet someone and everything's cool, you're like, oh my God, you're so amazing. But then you forget that you were drunk when you met them. And then you can't break up with them the day after because that's just wrong. You understand? So you give it about 48 hours to simmer a little bit, and then you drop the guillotine, man. Bang.
I can't believe you turned this into a missing persons case. You were like, yeah, after 48 hours.
Yeah, that's what you gotta
that's
do.
That's when
man.
We'll get serious about this.
I mean, life, you need to have rules in life that you follow, and I follow mine to the T, okay? I've got certain rules that I live by, and I follow them to the T. All right, enough about our relationships.
Okay.
Enough about our relationships.
Thank you for that. Wow.
We are going to be joined by very interesting brothers, man. There is no other way.
Sounds like the entrance to a wrestler. Like a wrestler is about to come in right
now. Yeah. Hey,
there better not be
any ass whooping in here. Like, that's all I know. So we're going to go straight into it. Like, I'm just going to play this song for you. And then on the flip side of it, we're going to get into this discussion.
At 5'4", hailing from Soweto,
Just another cool kid. Yeah. Come on.
Get in there, man. It's the right jar.
Come on.
20-something.
You in here, mate?
No, mate.
You, mate.
Before I get wild, man.
Woo. Good God.
Yes.
If you could bottle the energy. I mean, seriously, if you could bottle the energy from this, I think you could drop a nuclear bomb on someone. That's how much energy is in here, man. God damn. Ooh. All right. Let's start with these gentle brothers.
Get with it, man.
Let's start with these gentlemen. We are joined. I kid you not. We are joined by the Demogorath Satana. Right?
It's one of those names when you see on paper and you haven't heard pronounced. You're like,
hey, man, Silungu.
How do I come about this thing?
You know, when guys, ever we have musicians in the studio, do you know there are times where it's pretty obvious who put them where they are or who gave them the inspiration to do what? This is the first time I'm kind of blank.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, oh man, where do I start with this one?
I don't
like,
know if you call it a white canvas.
Yeah, right?
Because black metal, but you know, I don't know.
Yeah, man.
But
yeah,
it's blank. It's pretty blank.
Gentle brothers, how you doing?
It's gonna be
man?
Fun.
Chilling.
How you guys doing?
Wow, we're fantastic, man. We are so dope. We just took shots, right? Like the shots were good.
Yeah, that was good.
Nice. Yeah, pretty good. Yeah. That's how we treat people. You know, so you guys must come visit all the time.
Just walk in, picture with the shots.
Bah! Yeah, man.
You shouldn't have said that.
All right, let's get the individuals' names. Who are we joined by in the studio today?
My name is Paranoia. That's what everyone calls me. I'm Trevor.
Yeah.
From Dobsonville. I play guitar in Demogorath Satana.
Rhythm guitarist.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. My name is Tembiso. Stage name Tyrant, because I'm a tyrant.
Yeah.
What else must I say about myself? I'm the vocalist of the band.
Oh, yeah?
I'm the guy making all of those
right.
sounds. Yeah.
Right. Gentle brothers, I, you know what? If there was a way to, you know, put this delicately, I would. But what are black guys doing making metal? Can I just ask? Like, I know it's politically incorrect to put it that way, but what the hell are two brothers doing making metal?
Well, you see, yeah, we used to get asked that a lot of times, actually. It was pretty weird. We're from Soweto, you know?
For sure. Like, Dobsy is next door to my hood. I'm from Middlelands, man.
Oh yeah, you know what I mean? So I'm sure you feel it like, oh, you guys come from Soweto and now you're making this...
Yeah.
Rock and roll, as people say. But it is rock and roll. I don't know. We just like stumbled upon something new and decided to go with it.
Yeah.
No one else does it. We like the only all black metal band in South Africa, as far as we know, probably might be in the world, because we haven't heard of an all black metal band, but
yeah,
we can't make such a statement. It was weird at first. Got a lot of dodgy eyes looking at us. Like,
for
hey,
sure,
man,
for sure.
Man, dude, what's up with the guitar, man?
People are just there waiting to lynch you or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then we just started a band, you know? For the dream.
Were you fans of metal before?
Yeah, for sure.
Way before all of us met. I think everyone was kind of into metal by themselves, and then when the group just sort of came together, everything just worked out perfectly.
Yeah. What are some of the misconceptions that you find, you know, when you come across people? Because, you know, when I think, you know, black metal, I'm thinking Satanism. At some point, you're going to want to ask me for a vial of my blood.
Can I have your baby, my friend? Just for this quick ritual. No, none of that. We do get those misconceptions, you know, you guys are trying to be white, you know?
Yeah.
As I said, we used to. Now, we kind of like put it out there, you know, people see us playing, they respect the music now.
For sure.
We don't get any negative criticism, they don't call us satanic anymore.
The odd person here. Then.
We're just the odd person because we play guitars really loud and we scream quite loud.
Yeah.
Last year there was this article I saw when we had to play Witchfest, right? So I walk into the garage there and there's that paper right there. It was in Venek even. It's like, Amakholwa azama ukuvikela ikonsathi kaSathane.
What the hell?
This is right before we played Witchfest with Rotten Christ. They're a Greek metal band.
Yeah.
So I mean, I was like, What the hell?
Seriously?
Bro.
Yeah, a lot of weird misconceptions. But then it's all good. You're going to get that if you're doing what we do. Yeah. If you're changing things, you're going to get negative.
Yeah.
Like, it comes with the trade, I suppose. Stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're still doing it. So we survived.
From the brief that we got, you know, and some of the links that we opened and some of the articles that we read, it sounds like a very basic story in terms of your... some of the band coming together, you know, a bunch of friends, you know, same background, same hood, like the same things. But I think there's so much to dive into here. And I think some of the story hasn't been told. And when I saw Bandcamp, I was like, "Ooh, okay, these guys are legit." Mm-hmm. When I saw Bandcamp, I was like, okay, if I was a record executive, I would have signed you up. Like, yeah, okay, you guys know what you're doing. Cool. But in terms of introducing... you know, and eliminating some of the misconceptions, we need to softly introduce an audience that is new or unknowing of the genre, especially in this country. In more the black community.
Mm.
How would you softly introduce someone to black metal? Is there even such a way
to introduce black metal?
I guess, actually, I think there is. You know, I'd say go listen to some R&B, double up the speed and wave your head a lot.
And just and put like blast beats in the R&B.
Yeah, like make it fast, man. I guess it's rock and roll, but it's just like a bit faster, a bit more hardcore. You know,
faster,
we scream. It's like Linkin
darker.
Park, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Before what they became.
Yeah,
now
yeah,
with that
yeah.
New song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But Linkin Park is a little bit soft. I think Linkin Park was the middle ground between, you know, metal and traditional rock and roll,
yeah, true,
and it still had that little pop element that people could latch on to, you know. Mm-hmm. So I Linkin Park, I don't think so.
Yeah,
maybe go my
like
System
the,
of the Down
sure.
kind of vibe.
System of the Down, but I'm
those
just
are like your metal entry band.
Yeah.
Coming to the furthest part.
Yeah.
Like extreme metal, black metal is like on the extreme far end of the spectrum.
For sure.
So I think people. It's easier for people to start out with those other easier bands.
Yeah,
that's how I used to listen to like Linkin Park. And be like, whoa, I'm listening to the heaviest stuff now.
Yeah,
I'm cooler than all of you guys.
Yeah,
and then like it just gets. I wanted a heavier.
You
stuff
elevate.
More.
Heavier you elevate.
Then, you know,
yeah.
Now, yeah, I'm in a band now.
You know, like a couple of was it last year or the year before? I was watching the Grammys and Metallica jumped on stage, and I was watching. Like, there's this friend of mine from high school, Kyle McCoy.
Sure.
This kid loved Metallica. Like, I mean, before we left Matric, he already had Metallica tatted on his back, you know?
It was like a Metallica stan or something.
Yeah, man. And, I mean, when I watched the performance at the Grammy, I'm like, I cannot hear a damn thing these guys are talking about, man. Like, how important are lyrics in heavy metal? Because it seems as if, like, you guys don't care at all.
I won't lie to you.
Lyrics, I don't know.
The vocalist
I'm the vocalist. Yeah. I can answer that.
Yeah.
Nah, man, they ain't important. I'm joking. I guess, like, they are important. You know, any lyrics are important in any song. But at the end of the day, you can't really hear what we're saying.
For
most
sure.
of the time, you know?
Yeah.
So how we look at it is the voice is just another instrument.
Because
we're screaming out there, you know? We are saying stuff. Some people just think, you guys just screaming, you know?
Table.
No, we actually say stuff, you know. So like, the lyrics they're there, but you know, if you can't hear it, you can still enjoy the music because it's just another instrument in this whole pile of beauty.
But I've also found that from when you start out listening to black metal, there's a little change that goes on. I mean, when you start out, the lyrics are kind of like that hidden, murky thing in the background. But
like
then,
a secret type
sure,
thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
But the more you get into metal, the more you get used to the vocals. Like
the easier it is on the ear.
Death metal and black metal, that happens. You get used to it and you actually start picking up words.
What people are saying.
Yeah. I think the same thing. Well, I found the same thing with hip hop when I was starting out. Mm. You know what I mean? At the beginning, like... you'd listen to Eminem rap once. You're like, aight, but this guy is all... what did you wear? You're like, You know, but after a while, it's gotten to a point whereby I can hear lines
exactly.
the moment
exactly.
it's said. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm like, and it gives you that reaction. I can understand that. It's about building up a tolerance.
Yeah, I'll be honest though. When I was listening to some of your songs... you catch a word here and there.
Yeah,
you do. To be honest, yeah. You know, it's just a matter of paying, being attentive enough to listen to the music. What are some of the topics that you write about, that you sing about? I know religion is an easy one to target.
Yeah. I mean, we just played The Kingdom of Hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, yep, there you have it. Well,
I didn't know hell had a kingdom.
Self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Now, like, we mostly sing about, you know, diversity, being open and, like, not being bound to a system. And,
yeah.
Like, not... like our story, you know, we sing about our story, like, you know, it's hard, and then, like, we broke free of all of the laws and the norms, and
the
we decided
boundaries,
to do this, the
man.
Boundaries, you know. Some songs are like just like a bit of poetry here and there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's very close to, I'd say metal is in a way quite close to like underground hip-hop, you know what
yeah,
I mean,
because yeah.
that's also something people wouldn't really throw their ears to, but
for
it's
sure.
there, you know
sure.
what I'm saying. And some topics, usually it's just all fun and games. Some stuff might be controversial topics and songs, but at the end of the day, it's just rock and roll.
But
yeah,
that's the one thing about it as well. I mean, black metal opens up a part that people aren't used to. I mean, that part of your persona that you put out, I mean, that's something people don't usually delve into. So I figure you're expressing portions that psychologically would otherwise be hindered by your norms and society and all that.
Yeah.
What do you do with that freedom? What to do with that freedom? Because, I mean, like, as you're mentioning, the boundaries and, you know, the social norms, the conformity. Then you realize, okay, we've broken out of this thing. What to do with it? What are you guys doing
we
with
it? Party. Party, man.
Yeah, we
that
party
was the fun
hard.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, like, after that was over, you know, because there was a bit of tension. Like, okay, these guys, we've never seen an all black metal band coming and playing the show. Should we even go listen?
Yeah.
These guys going to be like hip-hop, whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Just bite Linkin Park or yeah. some of these guys. But
yeah.
then we showed them that, hey, man, we have our own unique style. And, like, we made a lot of friends.
Yeah.
We didn't bump into much racism and stuff like that at first, which is cool.
Yeah.
You know, not even at first, like, ever. We don't yeah. deal with those problems.
Yeah.
People have accepted us. People love what we're doing. It's amazing. That's why I said now it's time to party and play music and just tour.
I want to be at your next show. Let me know when the next show is. I
For
have
sure.
to see this.
Yeah.
That's one of the recurring themes in terms of your association, you know, and what's been written about you, actually.
Mm.
That you guys haven't come across any racism, any discrimination. You've been accepted. And I sort of went to comparing it to being at a bar. Alcoholics yeah. are some of the friendliest people around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When we are in a mm-hmm. space where we are ordering drinks and the barman is being slow, or whatever the case may be, we will get to talking and complaining about the barman and then talking about other topics.
Sure.
It's like that you know why you're there.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what you look like. It's more about, I don't know,
the
what
reason
you
yeah, there
the
for,
reason
yeah.
you're there for, what you
for
bring.
Sure, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I find, like, people think metalheads are like the creepiest people ever, but in reality, a lot of those people are pretty cool.
Look, man, I've met a lot of chilled people in my life before, but you rank right up there with one of the... And it's weird that you're called paranoia because you seem so relaxed right now.
These chairs are good.
Yeah, these chairs.
These chairs are nice.
And probably those luminal shots earlier.
You're talking about the romanticism. I think you've sort of led us into the romanticism that exists within heavy black metal, heavy metal, rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like with the women?
Mm. Oh, good question. High five for that.
Well, like, you know, it's rock and roll, so obviously, you know, you do get some ladies that like what you're doing.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it's not based on that. I mean, we don't chill with your groupies and stuff much. I mean, mm-hmm. we play and we party with everyone.
Sure.
We don't put ourselves in the upper class and other people like that. Oh, she's a groupie, it's fine, you know. We're like, hey, she's a friend, just hang out with her. So
yeah.
Okay,
but what kind of girls are you pulling?
man.
Did you see him? I saw what he did there. He was like, no, politically correct. Yeah. I know my girl is listening right now, man. Yeah, baby, she's just a friend. You heard me on the interview. I said they're friends.
Yeah. Just a friend.
Yeah, I let paranoia answer that one. Go for it, man.
What am I gonna say? I'm not the social butterfly of the band.
Yeah, he's the not paranoid guy, very chill guy. You get like, you know.
So okay, who's the Mac Daddy of the group? Let's get to it. Who's the gigolo? There's always a gigolo in the group. And I don't care.
I ain't saying nothing.
It ain't me.
It's not me either.
All right. I'd say, as I said,
but there is one though. Let's just keep that.
You guys need to invite me to your next show. I'll find out for myself. I'll find out for myself and I'll bring
what happens
feedback.
At the show stays at the show, homie.
Hey man, it's not if your show is in Vegas, then for damn sure.
Okay, sure, Vegas it is, man. It's
Judas.
You know what? I feel like I want a black metal name. Can I give you guys that challenge to give me a name that's rock and roll?
Yeah. Afro of Doom.
Afro of Doom. Yeah, I think that's what I'm gonna call you.
Afro
of Doom. Yeah. Mm. Afro of Doom.
It was so easy.
Yeah, right? Quick. As soon as I came in, I was Afro of Doom. Where your tracks at, man?
Like, in terms of finding your identity within the band and you know what you do, what you deliver within the band, aside from finding names, did you give each other names or were you like, I'm paranoia?
We kind of had all these names for a while,
even before the band.
Before the band.
Okay, now I can finally use it.
Was it that easy in terms of fitting into the mold of what you guys do as a group?
We're like the only band in the hood that plays black metal, so I mean, there's no comparison.
How did you guys
where
find
else,
each
which
other?
Other band that you're gonna play?
Well, okay, I kind of found. Well, some of us we met through internet skateboarding. One of my friends, and then that's also how I got into rock, through skateboard. I just thought, if you're a skater boy, then you must listen to rock.
And
I actually heard about Tay from a friend of ours, Tula, who plays guitar in TCIYF.
Oh,
you should start a band. I know this guy, he does vocals. But we didn't actually start a band for years, like many years later. Only then did we do it.
Alright. Do you guys think there's a space in what we would call mass media, you know, the commercial side of things? Is there space for you guys? I mean, with what you do?
I don't think so, man. It's very underground, as I said. Yeah. So we kind of have to. Not everyone will listen to our music, you know? Even though it's dope, it's cool. But not everyone will listen to it, you know. It's rock and roll, it's heavy stuff, and like some people just want to chillax and listen to like some soothing vibes, you know.
Yeah.
Where some guys saying, baby, I'ma put you down.
Yeah.
You know, you're not gonna listen to what? Yeah. What's going on?
But you know what, I think there's a time and place for everything. I think if some of these, if there's a forward thinking person out there, like on a Saturday evening, you can do that type of stuff.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You can put together a platform for, you know, the next group that wants to come out with something a little bit different. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And like, even like, you can, you'll probably, if you're not going to listen to it on your phone or your MP3 player, whatever, watching us live is also cool, because then it's just a different atmosphere.
It is.
Like, it is. Jumping over and crowd surfing, and then you try crowd surfing out. Everyone's picking you up. You know, it's really cool. It's nice to be
taking shit from your pocket, you know.
It's like, hey, did someone touch my ass? I hope no one touched my ass.
I mean, you talk about mass media, and I think modern day artists would worry that they would start first by looking at if there's a market for what they want to do, right? What they want to go into before starting. But I think there's an honesty to what you guys deliver and what you do, because you look at mass media. I'm not all knowing, but you know, ever since there's no MCAR anymore on TV, and I don't think there are spaces on radio or television even where your music or music of this nature is broadcast, is played necessarily.
Yeah.
I think as soon as you decide to be in a black metal band from the get go, you know, you're not going to get that kind of media attention. So, luckily, none of us had that in mind when we were starting out, so everything just works out for us. I mean, we play music, we have fun, we enjoy it.
Getting like quite a lot of interviews, lots of people are hitting us up for gigs.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, it's we
There's always a few brave journalists who kind of want to break their story.
Yeah.
Found these guys. Yeah. They play black metal. They're from Soweto.
We're going to the hood, man.
Yeah.
A short while ago, Uproxx sent a few journalists from the US who came and followed us around for a weekend. I mean, that was pretty cool for someone to do that.
For sure.
From a different country. I mean,
you know, it's weird how life works, man. Like, because you guys decided to do something, I don't want to use the word outlandish, but it's somewhat outlandish, right? You guys are doing this thing, and I can imagine Batho ba ko Kasi, especially ba ko Dopsi. I know the people ba ko Mirolens and Dopsi. You know what I mean? Can you imagine from the time you guys decided to do this, plus removing the pressure that, you know, mass media puts on other artists, because everyone, whoever makes music, is thinking, will I be on TV? Once you guys removed that and you guys expressed yourself, you had someone come in from the US, you know. Yeah. I can only imagine what the haters would have said, like, that day, like, you're like, yeah,
the
this guy
are cheap, that's why. Yeah.
Oh, no, man, you guys don't understand, this guy's from Ohio. what is Ohio? Like, hey man, it's a place in America. You know what I mean?
I think this affirms that blackness is a magical thing.
It is, bro.
You know, and but in the same context and in the same vein, I hope that what you do and what you deliver doesn't get lost in your blackness.
Mm.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
it mustn't be sure. They're black first and then they're sure. Metal yeah, band. Yeah, no, you know what I'm saying?
Music first all the way.
Yeah, man.
Because I'm sure. That's what it should be about. That's what we should all focus on. I put you in the same league, but because you are a black metal band and you are in Soweto, there's a shock value to it. But I put you in the same context as Ohu Masigela, O Lira, you know, people who don't necessarily play for this market that is in this country or on this continent.
Mm. Mm. For sure.
It's broader than that.
It is. Sure, it is.
You know?
Yeah. Big ups to that. Yeah,
so, right. Please.
Continue.
Do you guys, by any chance, know Come In Your Face? Are they called Come In Your Face?
Yeah, the Come In Your Face.
Yeah.
Good friends of ours.
Good friends of ours.
We had them in, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting group of guys.
Must have been. I'm on that couch.
Interesting group of guys.
You talked about gigging, and you guys have been you've been around the country. You've been in Botswana as well. I think I saw somewhere. What was your introduction to gigs and going to gigs? How did that happen?
Hey, at first it was hard, man. Watching five people, like, you know, we're a 5-piece band and 5 people are watching you. So like one, 2 eyes on each person.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we're the rest of the people, you know? Because I said, at first it was a bit weird having an all black metal band. People were like, I've never seen this before. I'm not too sure these guys are going to deliver the type of music we want, you know? And not a racial thing. They're just like, you know, obviously, if you see a bunch of white guys come up and like, they're like, yeah, we're quite a group, let's hit it.
He's like,
yeah. Yeah. Ah, well, I left my drink over there. Let me just go there, you know.
Yeah.
So it took a while, but then, you know, the song started getting better as well, and people started listening, people were liking, we started building up a fan base, and yeah, we've got quite a big fan base now, surprisingly.
miraculously
yeah, we have quite a big fan base because of what we do and the music that we're doing, and like it's just working well. I love it. Being in a band is very fun.
It is.
I read this this piece here by, what's his name, Davey Oblivion, right? I think it's on Broken Amp.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was sort of a review of what you guys, how your performance went.
Was it the one from last year?
I think it's from last year.
Christ gig.
I think it's from last year. And I want you guys to tell me how far you've come from, you know, from this review, because it was a bit. It was honest. I think it was honest.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have read it. If you saw it.
Yeah. The day. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. So the recent. Where should I start? Let me see. Their show didn't quite match the technicality of the artist before. This did not stop them, however, from being thoroughly enjoyable to watch. Their stage presence was infectious, and the amount of fun they had was undeniable. They may have abandoned their cross. Corpse paint, but they still delivered demonic, dirty black metal in the vein of Pentagram era Gorotha. right?
It's a big word.
It's very large. How far have you come from that?
Obviously, you know, to tell you the truth, you know, it's a band. You know, we don't have like a laptop where you press play and the music plays and then you just rap to the mic.
Yeah.
Sometimes you won't have a good performance.
Yeah, there's good days and bad days.
There's good days and bad days. We're all playing live. You're playing the instruments on the day. You have to get accustomed to that type of sound that's at that venue. Like, things are always different. So obviously some shows will play bad, and obviously that is one of the shows
where
we didn't really play a good show. I do recall that show. I have actually seen that review. It was a bad show because we... You know, like, things weren't really planned well, and we try and get our stuff sorted better now and just like have more band practice. We went through a stage where we nearly quit the band. We just like, you know what, the band is over.
Because,
like, you
know, it's heavy. Right? Let's just call it a day.
Yeah, we were like, it's over, you know. We know we don't have the love anymore. You know what I mean? Love ain't there. But then we played one gig in Soweto, and like,
that changed everything.
It changed everything. Like, you know, we're not quitting. We're back.
No way. You want to quit now?
Yeah. And then, so we continued doing it. Obviously, we've had bad shows, but we've had more good shows than bad at the end of the day. Yeah.
You know, there's something that you mentioned a little earlier that actually irritates the living hell out of me. You know, when someone is booked to perform and they pitch up with the basic stuff, like, okay, DJ, let's play. You know what I'm saying? And then they stand there, shimmy shimmy yamanamana. Yeah. You know, it's like, dude, we've seen that for years. Okay, like, I feel like we are approaching a time whereby you just standing up on a stage with a microphone is not enough.
It's not enough. Yeah.
And it's weird because there were articles a few years ago talking about how guitar music is dying and all these things. Like, people aren't going live anymore. People are going more digital. But after a while, there was like a sudden revival. Mm-hmm. Like, live music is coming back right up in your face.
It's more entertaining to watch.
Sure. It is. It really is. Plus, it for me, it divides the difference between a musician and an artist. I think if you cannot perform live, you're a musician. Anyone can make music.
Thank
you. Yes. Yeah, make me boom boom, check a boom boom. That's me. Yeah, musician. Shine.
Click, mouse, drag.
You know? But if you cannot get on stage and engage people, you know what I'm saying? And give and give us a bit more than what the music has given us already, then it's pointless, man.
Sure.
You know, and when you... I mean, the amount of time and practice it takes to learn how to play an instrument, my dude.
You have to respect that.
You have to respect that, man.
True. Mm-hmm.
My God.
We listened to some of the stuff on True Black, the EP, your EP.
That's really old, yo.
Yeah. Hey, listen, this is from my vast archive of black metal library, okay? But I mean, compared to some of the SoundClouds previously to what you had put on your SoundCloud and to what is on that EP, like I said, once again, from my vast knowledge of black metal music, it sounds a lot cleaner. Is that a fair perspective to hold?
Yeah, we've dissed a lot of those songs that we have played on that EP, though. We're going for a cleaner recording as well. That's why, you know, the song we played previously is one of our more cleaner recorded songs. We are currently trying to work on getting an album out so that you guys can actually listen to, like, proper music. That is going in talks with people to help us out as well. It's very expensive to record. And, you know, rock and roll isn't really, you know, Bill Gates' fun house of money and joy. But soon as we have all of that sorted out, we're gonna have that album out, and then people can download, listen, and, like, you know, check out more of our stuff as opposed to watching us live all the time.
The song that caught me, or the intro, one of the intros that caught me on that particular EP.
Wait, before you ask that question.
Is this the one with the bell, or was it?
No. Which one of you is a Lily Tai fan? I know, actually, one of you.
Oh, yeah, you know.
Oh, snap. This is what happens when you sample, guys. Don't sample.
Hey, man, we were playing the song outside, right? Neo played the first couple of seconds. He's like, oh my God, can you believe this? And I'm like,
You're like,
I know that voice. I'm like, I've seen that voice in action.
Everybody that doesn't know, we're talking about they are talking about a porn star. right?
It's an inside joke. What is
it? Clarify.
Wait, what's the name of the song?
Elizabeth Bathory.
Yeah, there you go. Check it out.
Yeah.
Check out the track. Elizabeth
Bathory.
Bathory. Elizabeth Bathory. Yeah. Check out Elizabeth Bathory. You'll understand exactly what we're talking about. Hey, man. I just need to know. One of y'all in that band is a fan of Lily Tai. I want to know who it is. We've got a couple of things to discuss.
Brian, his name is Brian Griffin. I'm calling you out, man. It's you.
Great, now everybody knows.
I feel like that was a setup. Like, yeah. Let's throw his name out here because he's not in the interview.
He's not here.
It wasn't me.
I think it was. It makes for an interesting listening experience,
right?
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't pick. You would. Why would you use that as a sample? Like, I mean, it's crazy.
Hey, man,
it's crazy.
You know, sometimes some people want to listen to music while they're turned on. You know what I'm saying? So hey,
it's just dope vibes everywhere, man.
Exactly.
Guys, you know what? There's so much I still want to talk to you guys about, but looking at the time, we have to get out of here. But where do we catch you guys? How do we keep up with your performances?
Well, what you can do is you can like our Facebook page,
yeah.
Demogoro Satanam. We're not on Twitter and stuff. We are, but we don't use that account. So just, follow our Facebook page. We post all the gigs there.
You'll find the link to the Reverb Nation on the page as well.
Yeah, link to our Reverb Nation page. All of our, all the stuff that we put on there. We've got a lot of videos and stuff out with different like interviews and got songs, music. We're going to be working on a music video if we just get into a hospital that apparently is haunted. Haunted hospital.
I want to be there. I like haunted stuff.
Yeah.
I want to be there. Yeah.
So, we're going to work on that. And just like, watch out. We basically playing wherever you'll find metal these days. So,
dope things, man. Dope vibes. I understand. Will you guys be taking part in that event at Harley Davidson? Is it at Harley Davidson? I think it is.
Yeah, we've got one big one coming up now with Afropunk. We've been in communication with them a lot. We've got that at the end of the year.
For sure.
We recently done Basha Uhuru.
Yeah.
We performed there as well. So, big ups to Afropunk as well. They're also doing quite a lot for us.
Yeah.
And
booked
Humberwise Productions as well. Also, hitting us up there. And we are... we're just going to be wherever you'll find really cool stuff and really good bands.
This Botswana, when is this? September, right?
Yeah, 22nd of September, I think.
Yeah.
Going to Botswana.
Upcoming gig in Pretoria.
Bloemfontein, Pretoria we're playing. I don't know, the Pretoria I think is somewhere next week. Bloemfontein, I think it's in November. Cape Town, I think, is also in November. So, we've got quite a few stuff.
You got quite a few. All right. Yeah. We'll keep up with you guys on Facebook, right, man. Thank you so much for coming through, gents. It's been eye-opening. I have to say that. As for the two of us, brother, we got to be out of here, man.
Long hair don't care,
baby.
Welcome to Africa, man. Don't tell me how to look.
Really.
Don't this gay, dude.
It's Kim Seung.
Mandela Road.
So, Shio Katel. As for me, this is about as goth as I get. Tyler the Creator.
This is CliffCentral.com.